Hey, Jerry just reminded me that maybe there's a lot of you folks that don't know who Ramon is other than he's Rosa's father. Ramon is the evangelist for the Gospel Wings translation team down there in the jungles. He is Rosa's father, but he is also connected with the mission as our evangelist down there. Okay, our scripture is 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Tremendous group of verses this morning. I trust the Lord will have the freedom to speak to our hearts and teach us the truth of it. Let's look to him in prayer, shall we? We are thankful, Father, that it's our privilege to be here today. I thank you for these who made the choice to get out of bed and get themselves ready and come to church today. We thank you for the truth of your word. We depend on it. And I pray that this morning you would enable me to teach the truth in such a way that we can grab a hold of it by faith and say, "That's, I see what that means." And by God's grace and through the enabling of the Holy Spirit who lives within, I'm going to personalize that and act on it and benefit from it. Father, I pray that you would work in hearts here today. I don't know what's on the hearts and minds of each one here today. You do. All we can see is the outward, but you see our hearts. And I just pray for each and every one. Maybe there are some here today that are downhearted. Maybe there are some here today who are despondent. Maybe there are some here today that are struggling with keeping on, keeping on. And maybe there are some here that are fearful of certain things. Lord, you know each and every one of our needs, and we thank you that you are in control. And as we look to you, you will show us the way. If we don't look to you, we can't blame you for not showing us what we're supposed to be doing or how we're supposed to be handling things. I pray for those down in South America that we've mentioned this morning, Bob and Pat and Pino and Rosa and Rosa's father, Ramon, Lord, we thank you for how you are enabling them to get some things done, but we think of other needs and other things, other requests yet to be answered. Work your will, Lord. Provide funds. Strengthen and heal the area of the body that is so much in need with our brother Ramon. May he get relief. May he have healing of this to be able to continue on his work. Father, we pray for others, even from our own congregation, that are not with us today because of health issues. We think of Mark. He's been in the hospital about a week now with this urinary tract infection. They are getting relief on that, but there are still other things that are needful, and we pray you would work your will. As we now turn to your word, we wait on you. Thank you for what you have for us. In your name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. Open your Bibles again, if you would, there to 1 John chapter 4. Excuse me. At the close of the message last week, we saw in verse 24 of the third chapter, John gave another evidence of reality in a person's life, whether or not this person was a true believer or not. What was the evidence he was referring to? It was the person of the Holy Spirit, whom he stated God has given to us. Let's look at that 23rd or 24th verse. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. How do I know that I'm a child of God? By the Spirit which he has given us. Referring to the spirit realm, as John took us in a different direction from what he had been teaching, he continued instructing his readers about something which should be, as our message title states, a constant concern. Having said that, let's notice number one, John's words of caution in verse 1. John's words of caution. The first verse, let me just read it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. For because many false prophets are gone out into the world. As we look at this first verse, we see A, he tells his readers, be careful or discerning. Be careful or discerning. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Not everything spiritual in our world around us is wholly spiritual. Tragically, many people are so gullible regarding who they listen to on the radio, whose program they will tune in and sit and watch week after week, whose conferences they will attend, whose books they will read. Well, this is Christian. This is, you know, It looks and sounds so spiritual and so good. And look at this. And read the testimonies of those who have attended their conferences and how they've been blessed. What could be wrong with this? That's exactly the kind of person that John is writing to here And we're speaking to this morning as he issued his words of caution, be careful or discerning. Not everything spiritual in our world around us is wholly spiritual. There are spirits in this world. There is only one Holy Spirit. And as we look at this, we see here that the devil, you say, well, what could be wrong? He stands there and he preaches from the Bible. He's got to be trustworthy. He quotes a lot of verses. Would it surprise you to realize that the devil himself knows how to use the Bible for his purposes? Just because this preacher or teacher holds a Bible and quotes some verses does not mean that's one that we ought to be trusting. What's he saying about the Bible? Well, this everything seems so on the up and up. What could be possibly wrong? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, Paul wrote the Corinthian church and issued a warning to them about this very thing. He says, I'm going to go back to 13, 14, and 15. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They claim to be, in his day, apostles of Christ. Paul goes on to say, and no marvel, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also be transformed or fashioned as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You see, John was concerned about what some of his readers were listening to and who they were accepting. And as he wrote this, there's some authors even suggest by the very words that he used, some that received this letter had already started to listen and believe. Verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Perhaps some of his listeners, his readers, had already begun to embrace some of the teachings and some of the things that these false ones were leading. And John, because he loved them and he had a desire for their hearts to be fed by the truth of God's word, wrote these words of caution to them. Don't be gullible enough to just because it looks Christian, sounds Christian, accept it as the truth. Dig deeper. Dig deeper. Why? And what do you mean, dig deeper? Because John said in verse 1, try or test the spirits, whether they are of God. Test this, find out what these are teaching. Find out what they believe. Find out what they present concerning our Lord Jesus Christ and his word and God's will for your life. Try the spirits. Test the spirits. And if that was ever a word that was applicable over 2,000 years ago, it is certainly applicable in our day in which we live. We are 2,000 years closer to the return of our Lord than we were at the time, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John penned these words. Beloved, don't stick your head in the sand and say, oh, I trust him. He's got to be good. He's got such a good reputation. He's got such a good following. Don't be so gullible. So having said here, A, be careful or discerning, he tells us, B, here's why. He gives the reason. Because, here's why I want you don't to believe everything that you hear or see. Test them, check them out. Here's why. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. This wasn't just something that the apostles warned of. If you remember some of the statements of our Lord. Remember, Matthew recorded it in Matthew 24, verses 3 through 5, these words. It says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? He had been speaking of future things that were going to occur. Tell us, when are these going to be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. I'm a follower of the Lord. And shall deceive many. Our Lord warned us as he was here on earth, as they sat and listened to him, even before he went to the cross. Be careful. The days are coming and more are going to be springing up, starting their own ministries, starting their own church, this, that, and the other thing, and they're saying, the Lord led me to do this. I'm serving the Lord. And he said, the problem is, because people are not going to be careful or discerning, they're going to deceive many. And beloved, as I stand here and preach to you, my concern is, don't you be one of them. I know the radio waves are full of them. I know the TV, you go on cable, you can dial up any kind of ministry you want, and there have followings by the millions of people around the world. But don't get caught up with that which is not true. Search. Find out what they stand for. Find out what they teach. Don't be so gullible and just swallow it and be misled. Your soul is at stake, beloved. No, I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation if you know your own, the Lord is your own personal Savior. But you stand to be misled and lose your reward for faithfully following on in the way the Lord would have you go. Don't accept everything that looks Christian. It might not be Christian. As we think of some other things, as the Lord warned against, let's consider what I've just called here tactics. What are some of the tactics that some that are not all they seem to be, that they kind of like to use? Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 17. Turn with me if you would there. And let's look at some things that the Lord taught. Matthew 7, 15 through 17. This is one that I have referred to already, but we'll just get a little more specific. Beware of false prophets, which shall come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil. What's the tactic here, Pastor, that you're referring to? Let me go back. The Lord said, beware of those which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are really just ravening wolves. What tactic is that? The tactic of appearance. They give every appearance that they're one of the Lord's. They come in sheep's clothing. Who would suspect them? But when you find out what they really believe and what they really are intending, they're nothing but a wolf that has tried to conceal his identity and his outward appearance by looking and sounding Christian. Here's the second one. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, verses 21 through 23. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there he is, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce or deceive, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. What's the tactic here? I know y'all know, but you're afraid to say it. You ever run across those who try to tell you, you ought to come to these meetings, come to these services, so-and-so, brother so-and-so, he has the gift of healing. He can change people's lives. He can do miracles in your life. What's it say here? These false Christ, false teachers, they're going to show you signs, wonders, and if it were possible, to dupe God's own if they weren't careful. The tactics of the supernatural or miracles. Here's a third one. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 and 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 and 2. He says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or in secret shall bring in damnable heresies or wrong teachings, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And the sad thing of it is, Peter says, way back over 2,000 years ago, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You see the tragedy there? What is the tactic that's used here? There's going to come those, and they're not going to come in sheep's clothing. They're not going to come along and try to present something really Christian. They're going to come with outright denials of God's word and the truth of it. But the sad thing of it is, Peter says, many are going to suck it up and be swayed by them. Don't you? So, after we see John's words of caution to them, we ask ourselves a question. How do we determine who is true and who is false? I'm glad you asked the question, because in verses 2 and 3, secondly, we see John's words of clarification. John's words of clarification as we go back to 1 John chapter 4. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. So here we see at this time, John simply says, hereby know you the Spirit of God. So A, let's identify true ones. True ones. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Evidently, in John's day, that was a big issue. It's down through the ages. It's risen and been met head on and buried for a while and raises its ugly head once again. What is this teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, true ones embrace the truth and confess and teach the truth regarding the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, what's that 25-cent word mean? Incarnation. You know, we're told literally it means enfleshment. Enfleshment. What is the definition of the incarnation of God? We could give you all kinds of definitions, but to try to make it reachable, something you could grab a hold of and accept, it's simply this: the eternal God became a man in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. The eternal God, who remained eternal, he actually became a man in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's look at John 1:1. We're familiar with these verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word not only was with God, but the Word what? Was God. And then we drop down to verse 14 and it says, and the Word, who we identified in verse 1 as whom? God became or was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And again, it seems as though by John pointing out how we're going to tell who's a false one and who's a true one. In John's day, it seems as though the deity, the godliness of our Lord Jesus Christ and the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man in one, apart from a sin nature, he was fully man, but remained fully God. He wasn't just a little God and a little man, or part God and part man. He was fully both. And that had come under attack in John's day. And he said, if you want to know how to recognize somebody who's teaching truth or error, he said, those that are of God, the true ones, here in verse 2, that if that spirit is doing the teaching and the preaching, and the pastor or the teacher that is presenting truth, if he is confessing, if he is documenting, if he is embracing the truth concerning our Lord's incarnation, he is of God. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Paul gave us some more on that. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, this very familiar portion concerning, we see in verse 5, Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And beloved, if you are listening to someone who, they've got everything so good, they believe this, but are they teaching the truth concerning our Lord Jesus Christ? That's what John is teaching us here. Stay away from them. Well, having said that, his words of clarification regarding those that are true ones, let's move on to verse 3, and let's see his words of clarification regarding false ones. And here we see, he says in verse 3, and every spirit, or spirit-led teacher, preacher, whatever, that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. You see, those who distort or deny the truth regarding our Lord's coming in the flesh, they are not true ones to listen to. Many talk and teach a lot about Jesus, but the sad thing of it is, much of what they teach differs from what the Scriptures teach us. We find here, John goes on as he talks about these false ones. And here John says, let me tell you about this. These that are denying that he came in the flesh and that he is fully God, fully man, this is that spirit of Antichrist, which you heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. John stated that the distorters are those who are motivated by the spirit of Antichrist. He did not say they are the Antichrist. He said they're motivated by the spirit of Antichrist. He had introduced this topic to his readers in verses 18 and 19 of chapter 2. It says, little children, it is the last time, and you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The thing that catches my attention as we look here in verse 18, 2,000 years ago, as John penned this, he said in the middle of verse 18, even now there are many antichrists. What do you think it is 2,000 years later? If they were busy at it at the time John wrote this, they haven't slowed down. The devil hasn't given up. He's still doing his work. And the world is full of the false ones. In that same spirit. Now, as we think about this, we see these false ones here in our text. 1 John 4 says in verse 3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you heard it should come, and even now is it in the world. In his day, it was in the world already, as we saw in Philippians, as we saw just a moment ago. What is so dangerous about these who are false and do not stick with the truth? The thing that it makes them so dangerous is the fact that subtlety is one of Satan's most effective methods of leading people into believing error. What do you mean, subtlety? If something is subtle, what is that? Is it on the outright open up and up? If it's subtle, it's what? Maybe it's just a little bit underneath the covers a little bit. Maybe there is some deception. Maybe something is trying to be hidden. You see, the mixture of a little error among the truth is much harder to detect something wrong with it rather than just an outright denial, true or false. If it's got a little bit of just a little, just, he's so good, except, you know, he's just wrong, and it's just a little bit of error. What's it do to the whole pot? It poisons it, doesn't it? In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said this. He said, search the scriptures. as we ask ourselves, how am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to be able to find the answers? We were looking at things this morning in our Sunday school class, and the topic came up, search the scriptures. Why do we have a hard time believing that God is in control when my world collapses around me? If God was really, wouldn't have let that happen to me, says who? The devil. God never said that. Job's world collapsed around him, and God was in the center of it all. True or false? Satan was only allowed to do what God said he could do with Job. And the same is true with you and me. So, how am I supposed to know the difference? How am I supposed to be able to find out, is this true or isn't it? John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and get this, and they, the scriptures, are they which testify of me. Our Lord said that. We look into his word. Well, at this point, John shifted the emphasis. He, in the first three verses, had been talking about words of caution about those who weren't on the up and up, and we need to be careful of. But perhaps at that point, there might have been some that were thinking, boy, John, you've got me so scared. I'm afraid I'm going to be sucked up by some false doctrine, some false teaching. I might be overtaken. Well, what am I going to do? And so we find number three, John's words. I'm sorry. Number three, John's words of comfort in verse 4. John's words of comfort in verse 4. What's he say in verse 4? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What's he saying? He is not in trying to encourage carelessness among believers in any way, but he gives words of comfort to reassure them of their position in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what does he say? There's no reason to live in fear of being misled, because he says, you are of God. You're children of God. Look at verse 2. He said, chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Why be in fear? We're children of God. God is our heavenly Father. No, don't be careless, but don't live in fear and terror either. He says, you are of God. And because you're of God, you have overcome them. How? How have we overcome them? We've overcome them in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, the writer of Hebrews said this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. If you know the Lord as your own personal Savior, you are in Christ, which means where are you spiritually at this instant? Where? At the right hand of God, in our Lord and Savior. And our Lord defeated the devil. He overcame him. He is a defeated foe, and greater is he that is in you, John said, than he that's in the world. He said, I don't care what kind of principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, or whatever else you want to name, our Lord is greater than them all, the Spirit that lives within us. You see, that brings us then to verse 5. And it's number 4 for you note takers. John's words of clarification. In verse 5, he says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Perhaps the simplest clarification that John could give would be when you compare the two verses of verse 4 and verse 5. In verse 4, you are of God. Verse 5, these false ones are of what? The world. There you go. There's our clarification. Those operating under the realm of the spirit of Antichrist have no interest or connection to the truth of God. They have no interest. The world finds their teaching, these false ones, more appealing than the truth from God. Having said that, we bring our message to a close in verse 6 with number 5. John's words of confirmation. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. True believers recognize and accept the New Testament teaching of the apostles, as is recorded in the book you're holding on your lap. You say, well, that was a little bit proud on John's part. No, that was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he is saying here, he that knows God is going to listen to us because we have given to you the Word of God, no questions asked. Not of God, unbelievers. Not of God, they have no interest in the things of it. He says, they won't. He that is not of God, he won't listen to this teaching. He won't come to a church like ours. He doesn't want that. He's not interested in receiving it. And as Paul wrote, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, let me read. Not only they have no interest, they can't understand it. And that's why they don't want to come. Listen to the 14th verse. The natural man, unsaved, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Don't talk to me about true Christianity. Why? They are foolishness unto him. And get this, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned, and he does not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within him to teach and show him the truth of God's word. We think about this final statement when it says here in our text, "Hereby know we the spirit of truth and error." Here's how you can tell what I have taught you in these verses ahead. As we think of this, I close with Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, and it says this, "To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word," if they're not teaching the truth of God's word, it is because there is no light in them. Thank God for his Holy Spirit and his work of teaching us truth and leading us away from error. That's one of his purposes for indwelling you as a believer, if you know him as your own personal Savior. To spare you the headache, to spare you the heartache. As we bring this to a close, beloved, this needs to be a constant concern. There are so many voices out there. Make sure you're listening to the voice of truth. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for what we could see today. I pray that you would take this word in our hearts. May we personalize it. May we be doers of your word, not just hearers only. In your name I pray and thank you.